Hi, this is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. I'm speaking with Dr. Kelly L. Sullivan, Assistant Professor of Neurology at the University of South Florida in Tampa. After evaluating 188 subjects, Dr. Sullivan and her colleagues found that patients with Parkinson's disease had a greater degree of neuroticism and a stronger tendency to avoid harm than healthy controls did. We're going to talk about her findings now. Dr. Sullivan, previous studies have examined personality traits of patients with Parkinson's disease. How does your research differ from those studies?
Well, Eric, you're right. The hypothesis that Parkinson's and personality are associated is not new. Even in the 1980s, there were reports showing that people with Parkinson's tended to have more introverted, rigid, or harm-avoidant personalities. Most of these studies, including ours, have used retrospective approaches to examine premorbid personality characteristics in Parkinson's. And the challenge with this type of study is that it's really difficult to conduct accurate assessments retrospectively, especially for something like personality that can be so subjective. So our approach was unique because we used a questionnaire that was actually developed by the co-authors, Drs. James Mortimer and Amy Borenstein in the College of Public Health. And this questionnaire asked people about their participation in some really distinct activities, like riding on roller coasters, riding motorcycles, speeding, flying in small airplanes. And we used these specific activities to indicate how much risk people took when they were young adults. We also developed another questionnaire that asked people about their daily routines, both currently and when they were young adults. And this questionnaire included things like if they tended to wake up and go to bed at the same time, or if they sat in the same seat when doing certain activities, as well as generally if they had a preference to plan out their day in advance. And our intention with this approach was to minimize the potential for recall bias through using these specific activities to indicate personality.
So how might neuroticism, a preference for routine, and a drive to avoid harm affect quality of life in patients with Parkinson's disease?
You know, I don't think that we can make general interpretations of people's personality characteristics as being good or bad, helpful or harmful, and that wasn't really the focus of this study. As I'm sure you know, personality characteristics tend to fall on a continuum, and we all fall somewhere on each continuum. The impact of personality on quality of life, I think, would be quite individual. So, for example, in our study, one of the things that we considered as a possible indicator of risk-taking was frequent job changes. So, using that example, somebody might change jobs frequently because they get bored easily or they aren't loyal to a company, or they might change jobs often because they're acquiring new skills and achieving promotions. So the impact of that type of risk-taking on their quality of life really depends on the reason behind taking or not taking that risk, that is changing or not changing jobs frequently.
What would you say is the relationship between the personality traits that you described and Parkinson's disease? Are the neuroticism and avoidance of harm that you talked about simply coincident with Parkinson's disease, or do they give rise to Parkinson's, or are they symptoms of Parkinson's?
Well, that's a really good question that we really need more research to tease out the cause and effect. We examine the association. So from a biological perspective, it's plausible that Parkinson's and personality might relate because the dopaminergic nuclei in the brainstem are not only involved in the pathophysiology of the motor symptoms that we see in Parkinson's, that is the tremor, the rigidity, the stiffness, but they also influence personality as well. For example, novelty seeking, which is one of the temperaments assessed by the TCI, is related to dopaminergic function. And because of this relationship, it's been hypothesized that when people approach novel stimuli, the normal pleasurable increase in dopamine that you or I would typically have might not be possible in somebody who has Parkinson's.
Now, if a distinct personality type could be identified for patients with Parkinson's disease, what would that mean for neurologists?
Well, our findings have several implications that I think are meaningful. First is that there's a suggestion through our findings that personality characteristics among people that have Parkinson's are likely to be stable across the adult life course rather than being a response to developing symptoms of Parkinson's. Also, our findings suggest that personality characteristics in early life could potentially be useful for identifying people that are at higher risk for the disease, although we need more research to confirm that. Ultimately, our findings provide insight into the preclinical period of the disease. But I think it's important that we remember that this is just one study with a fairly small sample, and like I said, we do need more research in order to draw firm conclusions. And we have to be careful to interpret these results only within the context of our study. Ultimately, though, we hope that this research does provide insight about the process of Parkinson's and helps to further future research about the disease.
And what further areas for research does your study open?
I think we need further studies to determine when the onset of physiological changes associated with Parkinson's actually begins. We have a lot of new neuroprotective agents that are recently and currently being developed, and it would be wonderful, I think, if one day we could determine if somebody had dopaminergic degeneration before they showed physical symptoms of Parkinson's on a mass scale, you know, in a really standardized way with clear screening guidelines and indications that would allow us then to intervene and slow or even stop the degeneration to the point where it didn't impact their lives. Of course, we aren't at that point yet, you know, on a population level to do that, but it's my hopes that that would be possible one day in the future with more research.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Sullivan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.